So this morning I want to talk about our tongue. The power of our tongue. You know that unruly member that no one can tame? Is that what the Bible says in James 3? Mankind has tamed all the beasts of the field, every animal, other animal. Mankind cannot tame the tongue. It literally means it's wild. It's the unruly member. And with it, we can bless. With it, we can curse. With it, can be sweet. And sometimes it can be bitter. And James says these things should not be so. I might be a little bit loud, son, because I do get loud. The title of my message this morning is The Horse, the Boat, and the Fire. The Horse, the Boat, and the Fire. Is it? Really? I didn't know that. It's a good title for a movie. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for the wonder of your word this morning. I ask you in the name of Jesus. These yours, though. I ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, this your word would find ground in our hearts this morning. That ground, Father, would bear fruit to righteousness and the glory of the kingdom of God. We want to see people touched. We want to see families restored. We want to see lives changed. We want to see our next generation, Father, full of vision and hope. Full of your word. Conquerors in the kingdom. We ask in the name of Jesus, give us ears to hear, give us heart to receive, for your word is true, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God made everything through words. God made everything through words. In the beginning, God said, amen. He created through word. Thing is also, we can create our own world through words. Yeah? We can create in our families through words. We can create in our relationship through words. There has to be words though. You got to speak. You can't think it out. Amen? Here's another hint. Communication's not silent. Husbands and wives, can I have an amen? Communication is not silent. Saying, well, if I don't talk to them, it'll all go away. It won't go away. It won't go away. If I ignore them, maybe they'll go away. They won't go away. They won't go away. You'll wake up and you'll see their face right in front of you. We've got to speak words. Amen. Man is created in God's image and likeness, and he gave man the capacity to speak words that can affect and change things. My words can affect my relationship. My words can affect my children. My words can affect my grandchildren. And may I say this, your words can affect the unborn generation. We've got to be careful what comes out of this mouth. Amen. We can all quote that scripture, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And you shall eat the fruit thereof. We'll eat the fruit. Mightn't be immediately. Mightn't be next week. But we will eat the fruit of it. Amen. He gave creation the capacity, heart and words together to create an effect. Words have an effect. Words have an effect. He created the world through words, and a degree of my personal world is created through the words I speak. It's imperative for me to understand that words have power. Words, your words, my words have power. Words will shape things. Words can build things. And words can also pull down. Amen. James 3, verses 1 to 12, we're going to read that. James is a very wise man, the half-brother of Jesus. Half-brother of Jesus. He would have watched Jesus grow up. He would have seen and heard what came out of Jesus' mouth. He would have seen how Jesus reacted. And he never mentions once where Jesus had a bad reaction. It says this, not many of you, ESV version, not many of you should become teachers. James was a teacher. Not many of you should become teachers. My brothers, for you know we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Because a teacher uses their what? Words. Their words. You need an anointing, you need a calling to be a teacher. Not everyone's called to be a teacher. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is perfect or mature. Man, able to bridle or control his whole body. You and I controlling my tongue helps me and enables me to bridle the rest of my, what? Your body. Your body. Your body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses, say horses, so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships. Ships. Also, though they are large and are driven by strong winds, what they're driven by? You know, sometimes people's lives are driven by the wrong strong wind. My Bible actually says this, the winds of adversity. Sometimes in life, we are driven by winds of adversity. And there's only one way to control the winds of adversity that are pushing against you. You've got to be in control of the rudder. The rudder is your little member. Your tongue, which is like a rudder. A very small rudder, and whenever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest, say forest, is set ablaze by such a small fire. It only takes one flame to start a fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body. It affects everything in this body. The tongue. Most of our excuses about the tongue is, we say things like this, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. Yeah, but you said it. Staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. I want to just park there for a minute. The entire course of life. It just doesn't affect the moment. Words don't just affect the moment, but they can affect the whole course of your life. Amen. The Living Bible Translation says this, turn our whole lives into a blazing flame of destruction by wrong words. And disaster. The ASV says, sets on fire the wheel of nature, a constant going around and around and around. Sets on fire and ablaze the ways of nature. But if you're born again here this morning, I'm not restricted by nature. I'm moved by what? The Spirit. Is that true? For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Notice it says mankind. You don't have to be a Christian to be a zoologist and train an animal. We have lions that are tamed. We have tigers that are tamed. We have bears that are tamed. We've got giraffes that are tamed. We've got horses that are tamed. We've got, very good, love. We've got everything that has been tamed. Amen? Now, I want to make a distinction because it's very important. when an animal is, the difference between an animal being tamed and domesticated is very different. A dog is domesticated. It can live with me. 99 out of 100, I should never fear the dog that lives with me because it's a friend. It's adhered to me. But when something's only tamed, for instance, I watched a short the other day where this woman, Chinese lady, raised a panda bear from this big. Now it's a full-grown adult and matured. She nursed it. She fed it. She did everything to it. She went into its compound when it was there, and it turned around and grabbed her and bit her on the neck. It was tamed, in essence, but it wasn't controlled. We bless our Father and we curse people with who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, we blessing and cursing. It's my brothers. Now he's changed. He's went from mankind to now brothers. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Now he's talking to Christians. Mankind can control anything. Any other animal. But mankind cannot do this. Control their tongue. But a Christian, a brother, who's in the process of getting sanctified, has the capacity to bridle their tongue. We make excuses like this. I can't help it. So sorry. It just comes out of me. Well, sometimes it does. But these things shouldn't be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? In other words, he's saying you should bear what you should be. Or a grapevine produce, neither can salt pond yield fresh water. Next one, please. If I wait for this, I'll be stuck. Tame means this. That an animal has been socialized to minimize aggression towards humans, but remains wild by nature. Tame means it's been socialized enough, but it's still got a wild nature. Amen? And if I'm not walking in the Spirit, that's me. When I'm in a social environment like church, usually our P's and Q's are very nice. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But outside of church, they can see the wild side of my nature if I'm not bridled by the Spirit. Has anyone experienced that in their life? You can look on the ground, just put your hand up, it's all right. The tongue can never be tamed, James says. Trusted like a domestic animal or a dog or a cat. Don't take, or get so ease with it that you think everything's okay all the time. We must be in constant aware that I have the capacity, this tongue has the capacity to say anything at any moment, whatever that moment might create. Anger, frustration, profanities, whatever it might create. It stays in a wild, aggressive, natural state. And as a Christian, it has to be controlled or bridled, the Bible says, which means restrained or confined at all times. I must be aware what's coming out of my mouth. It can have everlasting consequence. it can affect generations. What's coming out of my mouth? What's coming out of my mouth will reflect to me the status of my heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? An unbridled tongue tells me you have an unbridled life. Are we still breathing? Are we okay? Which means we need to be aware of its state, for though it might seem to be controlled and docile at times, it is still wild. Don't take it for granted. Well, I'm a Christian, everything's going to be sweet and fine. You must bridle your tongue, because sometimes the tongue, Peter was a great example. His mouth ran before his head. And we'll get back to the head in a minute. His mouth, I'm like that. I will speak and then think, what? I shouldn't have said that. Instead of thinking before I speak, being under the control of the Spirit and allowing the wisdom of the Holy Ghost before I start speaking words. Book of Proverbs says things like this: a wise man speaks few words, but the words he speaks are like pearls of silver, weighty, full of grace. I need to be aware of the state. It will be wild. We must be ready at times to bridle it, to control it, to confine the unruly member by the power of the Holy Ghost. Mankind, your flesh, me, my wisdom, my counsel, cannot control the tongue. James has already told me that. He cannot control the tongue. But a man of the Spirit can put a bridle on it. Amen? What is the bridle that can turn and control the tongue? Can you go to the next one? Oh, you've done it. Good. James tells us the answer in James 3, 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works and the meekness of wisdom. And the meekness of what? Say it again. Wisdom. Wisdom. The key to controlling your tongue is wisdom. But if you have a bit of jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts through an unruly tongue, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Verse 16, for where jealousy, selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder and every vile practice, but the wisdom, say wisdom, the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit of the Spirit, impartial and sincere. These are the things that should be coming out of my mouth. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A harvest of righteousness, you will get a harvest. You will reap what you sow. Next one, please. Job 4, I love this. Job 4 and 1 in the Message Bible says this. Job was a man who refused to allow words to come out of his mouth. His wife says, curse God. And he zipped his lip. And his greatest trial, when he lost his children, had to scrape the pus out of the sores with a piece of broken pottery, sat on a hill, hoping his friends would come and encourage him. No. He says this in 4:1. Would you mind, one of his friends says, so-called friends, would you mind if I said something to you? Under the circumstances, it's hard to keep quiet. Isn't it amazing? A lot of people have always got a lot of advice to tell you when you're down. You yourself have done this plenty of times spoken words that clarify. In other words, wisdom. Encourage those who are about you to quit. We're about to quit. Your words have put stumbling people back on their feet. Put fresh hope in people who are about to collapse. That's the mouth of a righteous man. A bridle tongue builds. A bridle tongue becomes a witness and a testimony to you. Because like Job, it brings clarity, it encourages, it lifts people up and brings hope. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. To edify, to exhort, and to uplift. Our words as parents, grandparents, have the power to build our children or our grandchildren into Christ followers. Overcomers, servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your words. Just speaking words of hope. Lifting them up when they're down. Speaking life when they're experiencing death. Bringing clarity, having wisdom to speak into their situation. And hear me, as Christians, it's all right to say this: I don't know. Hear me. Please say that if you don't know. I don't know. But I can find out. Don't fill them with Christianese jargon to excuse your lack. Just confess your lack. Let them see you're real. Amen. Even to my wife and my wife to me. If I don't know, I don't know. But I hope to find out. But an unbridled tongue has destroyed more lives than anything else. An unbridled tongue demonstrates an unbridled life. I watched this clip yesterday. And this boy was 8. And he heard his mum and dad arguing in the back. Doors were closed. And they were talking about things like, I'm going to leave you. I should never have married you. Just arguing. Each of them trying to win points over the other. Little did they know, their little 8-year-old boy was standing at the door, listening to this argument. The boy turns 32. His mum and dad call him in and says, we're going to separate. He said to his mum with tears in his eyes, rolling down his face, he said, I'm constantly living every day with those words that I heard at 8-year-old. When I heard you from the door, and when you opened the door, you saw my face. I'm still at 32, I'm still living as I'm a 7-year-old boy. Sometimes words have such an impacting effect that they can stay with people for years. And it can restrict them. He broke it. He said, Mum, because it was Mum. Mum, I want to love you. Please don't leave. She stood up. He went over to her. She was a big businesswoman, constant traveling. And he held his arms around that woman for the first time in 23 years. They had a form of relationship, but they didn't have communication. We must arrest those words in the name of Jesus Christ. I need to know what's been coming out of my mouth, and if I've got to repent to my kids, I better repent. To your children, yes, to your children. Repent. An unbridled tongue can destroy. An unbridled tongue can put someone in, imprison them. An unbridled tongue can restrain them to them fulfilling their capacity, especially a parent or a grandparent. someone of influence, one that should know better. Next one, please. A bridled tongue is the key to controlling and bridling the passions of the rest of your body. James 3 and 2. As we become constantly vigilant in seeking the wisdom of God, hear me, seeking the what? That's why when we wait on the Lord, we shall renew our, because we're receiving some word from Him that gives me wisdom for the next step of my life. Book of Proverbs says this, wisdom is the principal thing. All of us need wisdom. God, by renewing our minds through the reading of the Word, how do I get this? How do I get this wisdom? By renewing my mind through the reading of the Word. That's why when people aren't reading their Word, they lack wisdom. And all of a sudden you realize when they're lacking wisdom, by what's coming out of their mouth. No longer are they walking with faith. They walk in by sight. No longer are they walking by faith. They're walking by fear. Because they've not got before Him to get wisdom from the throne of God. And the devil, what the devil wants to do, he doesn't want you to read. He doesn't want you to read your Bible. He doesn't want you to get wisdom. He doesn't want you to know the benefits of God in your life. He wants your mouth loose. He wants to disturb and disrupt your testimony. But if I walk in the Spirit, look, I've been pastoring for 35 years. I get days when I don't want to read my Bible. Is that shocking? But I still do it. I still do it. Because I know I can't go by my feelings. And I'm telling you now, yesterday's manna is not good enough for today. I need fresh manna from God every day. I need that manna. I need to be at His table. And that's not because of you. That's for me. An untamed tongue can lead to greater issues. Here we've got to the horse, to the ship, to the fire. Verse 3 and 5 says, you will see horse, ship, and fire. They are escalations. A horse can carry one, two people. Yeah? Usually. A ship can carry a lot of people. Yeah? Paul was in a ship. Remember that? Book of Acts. Paul was in a ship and he spoke what? A word that saved the whole ship. His word became the rudder for that ship. The storm was dispossessed. In fact, the storm helped them because no one drowned. Not one. They all got safely to shore. Hallelujah. The horse, the smallest of the three. A rider controls it through a bridle. The smallest of the three. You and I have to get control of the little things in our life. Amen. Don't try and fight the big things yet. Get a hold of the little things in your life. For it's the little foxes that spoil the little things. That niggly little thing. That little one word thing that you just want to throw out there. Yeah. One has to learn to control through the bridle of it and the smaller things in one's life. The ship. Notice it says driven by fierce winds. A lot of people's lives are being driven. They're not in control. They're not in control. The only way I can turn the ship around is by what's coming out of my mouth. Oh, it's hopeless. Oh, it's no good. Oh, we're going to, it's failing. And my kids are no good. And it's wrecked. The household's a mess. What's coming out of your mouth? A speaking of people's lives being driven by winds of adversity, the Bible says. But if it only takes one to have control of that small little rudder that can turn your ship around. Do you know have you ever seen the big, I'm talking about big ocean liners, and they take you on the bridge? I mean, you can't even see the end of them, some. My uncle used to be on a ship, and they used to have to drive a motorbike from one end to the other. It was that big. Go in the wheelhouse, turn that ship, and the wheel's about that big. Like a steering wheel. Some of them now have got joysticks. I don't know about that. I'd rather have a wheel. But anyway, where's my thing gone? Yeah. But anyway, it's going to take a small thing to control a large situation. And the thing that will do it, the rudder that will do it, is your tongue. My tongue. Cause to have a turnaround. Anyone need a turnaround? Anyone need any turnaround in their life and their families? What's coming out of my mouth? Can I adhere to the promises of God? Can I hang my hat upon the promises of God? So what's coming out of my mouth? His promises or your worries? The fire. Fire can affect whole communities. And it only takes one flame to start a fire in the woods. Just one. Houses can be demolished. Communities can be displaced through fire. Churches can be demolished through words. Setting a fire. I had a gentleman ring me up this week. Very upset. It's all right, it's not part of our church. I thought it was a smacking. Upset. Yeah, in fact, he had to put the phone down because he was such an emotional state. And he got back to the phone, he says, I was just talking to someone, and it so upset me. And I said, I was arguing with him. I said, well, that's your first mistake. Don't argue. He says, this was the hook and the bait of the enemy. And he said this, and guess what? They're talking about you. My wife was there. I'm thinking to myself, well, while he's talking about me, he's leaving someone else alone. I said, I don't care. He says, why? I said, I don't care. I don't care. He says, why don't you care? I says, because I don't. I says, well, I'm not going to argue about it. And I says, what you need to do is pray for the man. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Why? Because it keeps you in the wisdom of God. It keeps your mindset open to the wisdom of God. Amen. I said, I want to tell you something. God vindicates his people. He vindicates truth. He doesn't vindicate personalities. Just because you're a Christian, if you're not speaking the truth, don't expect God to vindicate you. He won't. In fact, he'll tell you to repent. Truth. Matilda says, are you all right? Never felt better. No. I refuse to let words affect me that I know that are wrong. A curse with the Bible says there's a curse without a cause cannot alight. It's got no right. If I'm hidden in him, in fact, Ephesians says this, those who are hidden in Christ, if I'm hidden in him, you can't even find me. The devil can't even find me to put the words on me because I'm hidden in Christ. Hallelujah. That's my confidence of Jesus. A fire can affect communities, people, bringing destruction, loss, grieving, causing a displacement of people as a fire begins with just one flame. That's why it's imperative when you're in the house of God and you're in fellowship with other Christians, speak life. Speak life. Next one. Luke 8, 22 and 25 in the ESV. One day he got into a boat, Jesus, with his disciples and said to them, let's go across to the other side of the lake. I love this. Notice what Jesus said. Let us go across. That's why he could go fall asleep in the boat. He had a word. I'm going across. No devil in hell could stop him going across. Let us go across to the other side of the lake. So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And as the windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger, and they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he woke and rebuked the wind. But to rebuke the wind, he had to what? Speak. He had to speak. What am I saying to my storms? What am I saying to my storms? Nothing will ever change. Heard this all before. Well, you know, if God's for me, why is all this happening? I can say that with confidence because that's what I used to say as a backslidden Christian. He said to them, where is your what? Where's your faith? What faith? What did they have to have faith in? He had already told them he had to go across to the other. That's it. No devil in hell can stop you fulfilling what God's placed on your life as long as you're with Him. With Him. It says, who then is this that even the winds and waters obey Him? Next one. I've got a rush. Job 38 and 1 says, in the message says this, now finally God answered Job from the eye of the storm. He said, why do you confuse the issue? Let's see what confuses the issues in the midst of our storms. Why do you talk without what? Knowing, wisdom. Why are you letting your lips move without my wisdom upon them? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? I love God. Straight to the point. No wisdom. Hear this, what God says to him. Pull yourself together, man. Get a grip. Pull yourself together, Job. Up on your feet. Stop moping. Get up. Oh, I love that sort of talk. Stand tall. In what? In the truth. How do I change that? But what's coming out of my mouth? I have some questions for you. Now, it's getting serious. God wants an audience. You better have some answers. He's got the questions. You better have the answers. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers. No flip-flopping around. No Christianese. Well, holy, blessed one, thou art holy, glorious to God, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, he doesn't want that. He wants some straight shooting talking. Do you know you can talk straight to God? Do you know you can tell him anything and he's not shocked? He's not shocked. God is not shocked by the level of your sin. God is not shocked by your failure. God is not shocked. God's not shocked. He already knows it. He already knows your thoughts and intents. He knows it. What he wants you and I to know is that he knows. Jeremiah 22:22 says, these winds want to drive you into, well, this is my version. These winds want to drive you to destruction. The winds of adversity want to destroy your life. They want to keep you bound. They want you to keep going in circles. They don't want you released from the things of God. They want you to go round and round the merry-go-round, just like Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, around and around and around and around, till you lose hope and faith. And the thing is, we're asking God to do it, and God's already given us an answer for it, wisdom. Next one. I'm going to finish. Next one. James, the Lord's brother, gives us the keys to bridling the tongue. Wisdom. In other words, think before you speak. That's an old adage, isn't it? We say that to our kids. Think before you speak, son. And yet we do the same thing. Here's an acronym for think. Think. Number one, T. Is it true? Is it true? What you're about to say, is it true? Or is it hearsay? Or is it a little tale someone's told you? H, is it helpful? Is it going to edify them? Or am I just going to drop baggage on them? Is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? Will it lift them up? Hello, Job. Will it lift them up? Is it edifying? N, is it necessary? Do they really need to know it? Just like I said to that man, I don't want to know it. I don't need to know it. I can't change what's been said. K, is it kind? Proverbs 31, woman was motivated by kindness. Is that right? Is it kind? Think. Think before you speak. Wisdom is the principal thing. It will help you and I to address the other areas that need bridling in our life. Anyone else got any other areas that need bridling in their life? That's four of us honest. But it will help me because the wisdom of God and the counsel of the Spirit always gives me a way of escape. It teaches me. Amen. Hallelujah. The horse, the ship, and the fire. What is coming out of my mouth? Amen. One of the greatest areas, you know, I see in Christendom is this. A lot of saints get very frustrated because they don't see what they think God has said. It can lead to anger. It can lead to a myriad of things. But my confidence is that His peace will guard my heart and keep me until He releases that which He's spoken and the required time of His Spirit. What assures me is this: He cannot lie. Simple. He can't lie. Now, the flip. This is the flip. Did He say it? Or is it your wishful thinking? And then we put in Jesus' name at the end of it. Anyone ever done that? Of course we do. Of course we have. We're all the same. We're all mixed up. But the principal thing is you need to get a hunger for His Word. Seek His face. Wait upon the Lord. Think before you speak. In fact, one of them scriptures, I'll just finish it with this. I love this. Proverbs 13:3 says this: whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. 13 and 13 says this. Those who control a bridle their tongue will have long life. Wow, what a promise. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Zip the lip. Shut up. Don't say nothing. If something is not edifying, if something's not think, don't say it. Bridle the tongue. You might, even if you've got a gnaw, just don't say it. A couple of seconds of that, you're all right, you feel good. Whew. Say that, and something else falls out. Bridle the tongue by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, we ask you to help us to walk in the Spirit. And our mouths become a well of life by the outworking of the fruit of your Spirit. Keep us attentive and aware of the wiles of the enemy. Let us seek the wisdom of God and help us to think before we speak. Let our words and our mouths be like Job, Father, who speak words with clarity, uplift, and encourage those who were about to quit. Give us a word for them, Father. Help us put stumbling people back on their feet with your words through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us bring fresh hope in Christ to people who are about to collapse. Father, we're here this morning to say, change me. Without you, this little member in my body is uncontrollable. But you've given me the Holy Spirit to have the capacity to bridle this thing and to bring it in alignment to your word, that it might bring testimony of your goodness and your power. So, Father, we commit everything to you this morning. But hear our cry. Change me. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive me of any words spoken coarsely, even jokingly, Father, that might have hit someone or hurt someone. Allow my words to be, Father, full of life. In Jesus' name I pray. If that's you, you shout amen to your God.
Amen.
Amen. So don't forget, the horse, the ship, and the fire.